Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
Well, good morning, everyone, and everybody that's watching at home. What a wonderful worship this morning. Amen? That first song was just amazing. I mean, they were all amazing, but I love the words to that first one. It just kind of fired you up, right? So, Father, I thank you this morning for your word, which is rich. We thank you this morning, Lord, for resurrection life that dwells within each one of us. Father, I pray today that, Lord, you would open our hearts to really understand what an incredible place we have when we abide in you. So, Lord, open our understanding. Help me to preach this, Lord, the way you gave it to me, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Fasten your seatbelts. All right. When I was getting ready this morning, message already, and the Holy Spirit led me to go and read Genesis 1 again. We tend to always go to Genesis 1. He says, read Genesis 1. I said, all right, Lord, what are you showing me? And in Genesis 1:28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So be fruitful and multiply. Abiding in the vine causes us to be fruitful and multiply, right? So right from the beginning of creation, God put some things in place that he's not changed his mind on. We've gotten sidetracked, but it's right there in the beginning. Then he says, then it talks about the fact that God came in the cool of the day and he walked and talked with Adam and Eve, right? Because when they fell, it says they heard the Lord God walking, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, right? So he met with them on a daily basis. They communed with him on a daily basis. They were able to eat from the tree of life, which is Jesus, on a daily basis. And so their relationship right from the beginning was established with him, in abiding with him. Everything they did, their creativity, their revelation, the naming of the animals, deciding what the nature of that animal was and declaring it and bringing forth, came out of this abiding relationship that they lived in. And so fast forward to us in the year 2020. And I want to read to you John 15, if you turn to your Bibles. I'm going to read from 1 to 17. I mean, there's a preach here for a month and more. But I can only cover a little bit today. So we'll see how far the Lord takes me. John 15, 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Yes, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in me. Boy, that word's sure in there. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. When our journey began last March, about March the 13th, approximately in there, the Holy Spirit spoke to all of us that this was a time of reset. Remember that? That's the word that started coming out. A reset to our first love. Simply being restored to our devotion to Him. Revelations 2:4 says they had lost their first love. This was the word spoken by the angel to the church of Ephesus. This church was encouraged to repent and do the first things. The first things was be restored to your first love. When you are first saved, you respond to his love. Can't you remember those first days? Oh my, so glorious, right? And somewhere, somehow, in the busyness of life, that starts to change. When we lose our first love, we leave the principles how life in the Spirit is lived behind. In this reset, it is crucial for us to be restored to that place. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when this text comes forth to the disciples, he's been talking to them all through the last couple of chapters because he's getting ready to die and he's given them a download. And truthfully, if I were in their shoes, I'm not sure I'd remember it all either. I mean, he really gave them quite a teaching throughout all of that, those chapters. Powerful teachings. But the word is sure. It says that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled them, Jesus had promised them that they would remember the words that he had given them. And they did. During a season of reset, the Holy Spirit, through many different prophets, spoke to us that it was time to set our busyness aside. That it was really a time for us to seek the face of the Lord. It was a time where on Zoom conference calls, we heard about repentance, national repentance, global repentance, as men and women, leaders in the body of Christ, began to repent for their busyness, and they began to repent for the sins of the world. They began to repent for the sins in the body of Christ and denominational differences and divisiveness that had come. And restoration began to happen. In order to move forward, though, church, into this new era that God's brought us into, we need new wineskins again. God's busy doing that again. Because we have to arise and shine. It's time. I just want to read this text. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And so what's happening is, as the church is pressing into the Lord, and the church is walking through identification repentance, and as leaders who never walked together begin to function together and actually love and respect the gifts that are in one another, and that's happening across the globe, I just watched one the other day. The Chinese were on, the Japanese were on, David Damian was on, Bill Johnson, Mike Bickle, you know, and they're translating from English into Japanese and Japanese into Chinese, or vice versa, as they're all just loving on each other. You sit there and you think, wow, what a day we're living in. So the light and the brightness is expanding, and at the same time, it's exposing darkness as never before. Amen? So God's inviting us into this place of abiding. We've probably, all of us, lived in it to a degree. But our busyness, I noticed even in the last couple of months, you know, as we're able to move around more and visit more, the busyness started creeping back in. And it's like, oh, wait a second here. Whoa. You know, off focus, busy again. It's like, Lord, I don't want to go back to that. I want you to have first place in my life. So we're coming into an incredible season. An incredible season. When we come out of this time, I'm telling you, there's going to be fruit in the body of Christ for those who have had an ear to hear that is going to be seen. What Jesus talks about in John 17, that we all will be one, is happening. There's a fight like nobody's business against it, but it is going to happen. It has to happen because it's word. All right, so the first calling that Jesus did of all of us, and I'm going to have to cut this a little bit because I got a lot of material and not enough time, but the first calling that Jesus did was, come. Come follow me. Come to me. The calling of Matthew, he just said to him, come to me. Tax collector, just come. The next calling that comes is, take your heavy yoke off. Matthew 11:29-30. I'm going to just read it out of the message because it says it so wonderfully. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, hang on to that thought for when Jesus says, I'm the true vine. Okay? Because the next thing that the Lord begins to teach us in our journey with him is that we are not under works, but under grace. That Jesus paid the price in full. And this is part of what has to happen while we're abiding with him. If we're not abiding, we're not going to learn these things. We're not under works. We're called to live from a place of rest. Too often we're busy and we're not functioning from the place we're really supposed to. So we have this incredible invitation to come. And it's not with him, but he invites us to abide in him. Another thing that's different. Not with him, but in him. So that talks about a level of intimacy that's huge. In this place, a fruit of the Spirit is formed in us. I shouldn't say a, because sometimes he's working on many at the same time. And that's not always fun. But anyway, so going back just for 1 second, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I'm trying to cut my teaching, so bear with me. You'll get the point as we go along. In the creation account in Genesis 1, We read that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, right? Forming man on the last day before he takes a day off. The implication of this is that the man's first day on earth was a day of rest. Come on. Man's first day on the earth was a day of rest. Most people work all week and then rest. Today, we don't even rest because Sunday's no longer sacred. Or another day of the week. Because when we do get a day off, we're scurrying to get everything done in our homes. So we really don't ever rest. Today, many don't even take that day. The kingdom equation is the other way around. We begin in the place of rest, abiding, and then we work. We're not to rest from our work, but work from the place of rest. They walked and talked with the Lord in the cool of the day, had communion with him, and then they worked. So John 15, 1-7 is the account I want to start with. Jesus often spoke about nature, right? Shepherds, crops, being the door. And here he's talking about the vine and branches. But he knows that through this teaching, because they're going to understand much better than we're going to understand what he's fully talking about. Here he's wanting to bring security to them through this teaching. And I never saw that until I began to do some studying. He's trying to prepare them for what's lying ahead. And he's trying to let them know they are going to betray him in a very strange way. In the picture that he paints of the vine and the branches and what happens in the vineyard. So he's really trying to prepare them for the journey they're going to go on over the next few days as they walk away from him, as they can't stay in the garden with him to pray, as Peter betrays him. I am sure Peter went back to that analogy in his painful hours between the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and when he saw him again. He begins with the analogy of the vine and branches by saying that he's the true vine and God the Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman. He begins to give them a picture of the loving care of his Father for him, Jesus, and then for them. He uses a picture of a vine dresser's concern for his plants. We understand the love that Jesus has for us, but do you and I understand the love that the Father has for each of us, Karen? Your message was so appropriate. Because he loves us the same way that he loves Jesus. But it's easy for us to relate to Jesus because that's the first person we really meet in our journey of salvation. Right? But the love the Father has for us is absolutely profound. And often if we're busy, we don't grab a hold of the fact that God loved Moses so much that he responded to Moses' cry, "I want to see your glory." He says, "I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you." And he revealed himself to Moses. A vine dresser or a husbandman is more than a mere farmer. Grapes are more than an annual crop. Now, this was interesting. The vine dresser's grape vines remain with him for decades. In my research, grape vines can live from 50 to 100 years. Did you know that? It's like, oh my goodness. He comes to know each one in a personal way, much like a shepherd with his sheep. He knows how the vine is faring from year to year and which ones are more productive or vigorous than others. He knows what they respond to and what special care certain ones need. Every vine has its own personality. So see how they would understand that, because Israel had many, many vineyards. I had to stop and sit there and ponder all that. I thought, wow, trees you can kind of look at. They're gnarly, some of them, and they have a personality all of their own, right? Some are tall and straight. The red, those red firs out in the West Coast are amazing. They're huge. But vines? The vine dresser comes to know it over the years of taking care of his vines. The vine dresser cares for each vine and nurtures it, pruning it at the appropriate amount and the appropriate time, fertilizing it, lifting its branches from the ground and propping them up or tying them up, and taking measures to protect them from insects and disease. So when Jesus calls his father the vine dresser, he's describing him in terms of his relationship with his father and the love the father has for each individual person. So we're individually all loved so perfectly. He knows what we need at the right time. He was revealing to his disciples that incredible love that would hold them in the days that would come. You know, we read over it, but they were living it. They were living it in that moment. To call him a vine dresser is to tell him that he cares for them personally and is wise to know exactly what to do to make them fruitful. Do we believe that he knows exactly what to do with our lives to make us fruitful? Even when some situations come along that are absolutely unbelievably difficult. You know, do we wiggle and try to get out of it, cast out every demon we think is involved in this situation, because this can't be God, that we have to walk through this thing? And even if it is the enemy, all things work together for good. God begins to produce life in us and fruitfulness in the hard times. With such a vine dresser, the branches can experience complete confidence and security, because a vine dresser is going to take care of the vines, just like the shepherd takes care of the sheep. You know, when I heard the teaching on how the sheep come, the shepherd is the gate or the door into the sheepfold. And as the sheep come back at night, he's checking those sheep to see if they've been bitten by something, if they've got insects. I mean, there's a taking care of that happens even in nature. Jesus is the vine. When Jesus describes himself as the vine, he calls himself the true vine. That means genuine. He's the genuine vine. Now, there's a whole teaching here on Israel that could be done. I'm not going there. There's no time. But Jesus came to take us from works into grace, from law into grace. The shepherds at that time, the Pharisees and the scribes, were not leading the people well. They were under law after law after law. They had made up all kinds of laws. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the genuine vine. Because he knew that he was about to go to the cross to bring them salvation. All life flows out of the branches into the vine. You know, Connie, you said it, you know, when we walk through an orchard, we don't hear fruit trees groaning. In intercession on Friday, we actually ended up praying into this. They didn't know I was preaching on this. But you don't hear fruit trees groaning, I got to make fruit, I got to make fruit, I got to make fruit. It does not happen that way. We all know it. The seasons come and, you know, growth begins to happen and the buds come. And if we don't have a frost, a late frost, we get beautiful fruit. at the right time. Amen? The farmers spray, the farmers prune the trees. All that happens to get an abundant supply. So when his life flows through us, we're able to abide in his presence. Fruit begins to come forth if everything is working correctly. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Verses 4 and 5. He is our source of life, our strength, our love, our sustenance, everything. Everything we need is in him. I want to give you the definition because... So the word abide, here it is. The word abide means to dwell, okay? To endure. I thought, cha-ching. To stay with, to remain, to rest, to be firm and immovable. So the word abide means to be, to dwell or to live habitually with the Lord, but to be firm and immovable, to endure. So the season we're living in, and we don't know what the next 4 to 6 months will look like, but one thing I do know is that I personally have to live it out of abiding with him. To endure, possibly having to be in the house a whole lot more because the weather's getting colder and things are shifting and changing again. But also to be firm and immovable with my walk with the Lord and my relationship with him, to let him in that time span work in me and produce in me the fruit that he's trying to form. Because I want to come out of this at the other end passionately on fire for him. Amen? And so this can't be lost time. This has to be time for the church to arise and shine, even if we're in our homes and things have to be different again. We don't know. But what we do know is God is faithful. And the fact that Pastor Jay chose this particular topic, I thought, Lord, I'm hearing you. It's like, Lord, we need to abide right now and to get from you what we need. In the Passion, okay, Hebrews 12, 2 to 3, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So when we want to grow weary, you know, in the journey, we have to consider him. The one that we sit with on a daily basis. The one whose face we look into on a daily basis. He endured everything. In fact, it goes on to say that he did it with joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit. So, you know, I have to keep... And I'm telling you, I have to rein myself in at times. Say, no, wait a second. I want joy to form in me. I don't want to be miserable. Come on. When I look ahead at the next 4 months, I want to get miserable. Honestly. By now, we usually have a trip booked to Mexico. I want to get darn right miserable. It's like, and the Lord says, no, I can give you what you need. Abide in me. It may be very different this year. And I'm going to be creative and show you how. So, but Lord, never mind but Lord, what are you going to teach me in this season? Right? So... in the Passion Translation, it says, so enter into life union with me, for I have entered into life union with you. For as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Intimately joined to mine. So that means that there is a place that we can live from that's so close to his heart that we can hear him, commune with him, have him speak to us, even in creative ways, revelatory ways, so that the word begins to open up to us. He gives us answers for life situations, even in a lockdown. Amen? That's optimistic and full of hope. Come on. Because everything out there is pushing us into hopelessness, fear, discouragement, right? Apathy. Doesn't matter any. I'm just going to veg. I'll just go through the winter months in my pajamas and veg. People are moving into more and more depression. It's like, no, the body of Christ needs to move in a different direction. That's into his presence. That's into his creativity. I feel and I can only talk for me, but you know what? Maybe it's time to have a night with candlelight dinner, right? With a beautiful dinner I've prepared. Put some lovely music on. Instead of vegging and eating my plate of food in front of a TV. Come on, maybe I need to be creative to draw my children into that kind of a dinner. Maybe we need to start putting more, you know, if we do go on to that level of lockdown again, we're going to have to be creative. And we're going to have to bring light in the middle of darkness. Because when we do meet people, we've got to be of a different spirit. If we've been with him, then we're going to be of a different spirit. The husbandman already knows what needs to happen in your life and my life in the next months for us to be able to bear much fruit. He knows. And so we say, Lord, do in us in this hour what needs to be done. So he lifts the branches. I have to go look up at that. He lifts them up. Because if they're laying on the ground, they're not going to bear fruit. Okay? He doesn't remove these branches, but takes them to himself. Those men needed to hear that. And they would ponder that when they didn't pray with him and fell asleep. And then he ended up dying. When they left him alone in the praetorium, when Peter denied him 3 times, they needed to know that the vine dresser still loved them and was holding them, and that the vine dresser would lift them up again. They wouldn't be cut off. We need to know that too when we blow it. He isn't there just to cut us off. Even Peter's denial doesn't bring rejection from Jesus. Such incredible love the Father has. That love, church, needs to flow through us in this hour. And I'm going to close up here. But that love needs to flow through us in this hour to our brothers and sisters. Come on. That love that we sit when we abide with him needs to flow through us in this hour to our brothers and sisters. There is an assignment by the enemy against the church to bring separation, to bring strife and discord over different beliefs that we may carry. Come on. You know, it would be easy to get offended with a brother and sister right now because we don't believe the same way over different things. Maybe the progression of the book of Revelation is one, because that's confronted me. And it's like, you're my sister, or you're my brother in the Lord. We may have differences, but you're my brother. I choose not to break fellowship with you over this, which is what always happened in the past, because we're on the same vine. We're on the same vine. The love of Jesus that flows through you is flowing into me too. How can I cut you off when you're right next to me on that vine? We both may get pruned a little here in the process. Because if you've ever watched an arborist prune a vineyard, it's scary. I think, oh God, don't do that to me. All that's left in some places is stumps. Seriously, they cut everything off. You think you're killing it. Just relax. The fruit, the vine will grow and produce even more fruit, right? But listen, brothers and sisters, this is not a time to let the enemy rip us apart. We need to be together on the vine. Amen? Oh, my goodness. It makes my heart ache. I ended up on the phone with a sister in the Lord last night. I thought, I will not be separated from this person. I refuse to be. And I have just made it a mandate. I'm going to stay connected with someone who's been a friend for so long because of differences that have come in this time. We never had those differences. Now the differences are there. And it's trying to separate a lovely relationship. A 30-some-odd-year relationship. And it's like, no. No. And we need to be determined. We love one another. Amen? An endurance has to come in us. It's part of what abiding does. You know, endurance. For much of society in this hour, it's a season of frustration, mistrust, doubt, fear, anger, division, etc., etc., etc. That's not to be ours. For us, it's a season to be abiding together in the Father's love, because the Father, we're His children. Amen? I mean, I look at the prodigal son. The son comes home. The rejoicing that goes on. The older brother is miserable, but the father goes out and draws him in too. It's like, come on. We're family. Amen? So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So in this season, the fruit that God's really wanting in our lives is being formed. What an awesome time that is. Because when we come out of this, there's going to be fruit on our lives to feed other people. Amen. That's what it's for. It's to feed others who don't know what to do. Abiding with Him in the secret place unlocks so many seemingly impenetrable situations. More can happen during 1 minute under the anointing than can be achieved by hours, days, or weeks of striving. When we wait on the Holy Spirit, we connect with Him, hearing the Father's heart, then we know how we should pray, what to do, and how we should do it. Another meaning of abiding is to be prepared. As we abide in Jesus, resting in Him, He prepares us to go out and touch the lives of others, to be His hands and feet in the situations we encounter. Time spent abiding is time spent being equipped. Our human minds argue that time spent abiding is time doing nothing. This is not true. It's actually the most valuable time we will ever spend. It's a sound investment. Abiding in the vine means we are plugged in to the resources of heaven. Amen? And we need that in this hour. So I ask you, have you been abiding? Have you been abiding? I trust you have, but I challenge you as we go into more of the fall and then into winter. You know, even Thanksgiving this year is going to be different. And we don't know what Christmas will look like. And we can be upset and in turmoil about it. Or we can ask the Holy Spirit, how do we do this? How can we still love if it has to be from a distance? What message can I send to a friend? You know, what card can I send? Donna, you're so wonderful at that. And I get cards from a few people sometimes, and they come at just the right time. If we only knew the impact that has on our lives. It can be through an email. It can be a text message. It can be a phone call. It can be a Zoom call. I mean, the technology we have today, we don't have to be isolated. The challenge we're going to face is to deal with myself. And the only way we can do that is to sit with him, come into his peace, abide in him. When we get frustrated, run back to him. When the fruit isn't so nice that's trying to come out, sit with him, let him deal with us, and then watch what happens when we go into spring. It's going to be amazing. So abide in him. Amen. Pastor Rod. I'm going to close and I'm just going to pray. Sorry. Father, I thank you that we have an incredible husbandman, and that's God. And Lord, he recognizes each one of us. Lord, he knew the disciples. That's why he brought the message. And if you're watching online today, the Lord loves you. And if you're just visiting online today, you need to know that that husbandman, God the Father, loves you the same way he loved Jesus. And that Jesus is our true vine. And everything we need, he'll bring to us by the Holy Spirit. We've not been left alone. He knew this season would come. And he knew that if we abide with him, we're going to arise and shine. And people are going to be drawn to us. The harvest is ripe. And the Lord has prepared us and is preparing us and will continue to, so we come forth out of this season shining. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We embrace it. We love you. We thank you for it. Forgive us for the times we kick against the goats. It's had all like this. And Lord, give us grace to walk it out for your honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.